Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q1 and FY 2014 and FY 2015 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter results conference call. As always, we will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we will be happy to take questions. For the company as a whole, net sales in Q1 were rupees 145 crores versus rupees 121 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 20%. For Q1, operating EBITDA was at 49 crores, an increase of 34% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 34% versus 30% last year. PAT was at 40 crores, up 35% year-on-year. And operating PAT was at 29 crores, up 38% year-on-year. The operating PAT margin was at 20% versus 17% in the same quarter last year. Our deferred sales revenue has also increased to 155 crores as of 30th of June 2014. Versus rupees 139 crores as of 31st of March 2014. The hiring sentiment seems to be improving with every passing month. As the market recovers, we expect to reap rewards on the investments we've been making in sales, servicing, product, and technology. Moving on to the recruitment business, just a note here, a caution here, the business-wise numbers we give out are management estimates and not audited. Recruitment top line grew by 15.5% in Q1 to rupees 104 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were at 51.6% versus 50.3% in Q1 of last year. In Naukri, the EBITDA margin was at 54.9%, down slightly from 55.3% in Q1 of last year. In Naukri, we added an average of 11,500 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 38 million CVs. The numbers was slightly lower than last year as the resume registration feature is still not available on our mobile site. We expect this number to pick up once this feature goes live this month. The average number of CV modifications were at 116,000 per day in Q1. These numbers were impacted negatively as we tightened security measures on the site to protect the site from denial of service and data theft attempts. We expect this number to bounce back to normal levels by October end. The Naukri JobSpeak Index was at 1570 in June 2014 versus 1475 in March 2014. In Q1, Naukri had 30,800 unique customers who paid us versus 27,000 in Q1 of last year. Traffic from mobile is now more than 30% of total traffic in Naukri. We expect this to continue to grow month on month. Both our Android and iPhone apps are doing well. The user engagement on mobile is healthy. We have a healthy pipeline to add new features to our mobile properties going forward. The Career Site Manager product we launched in Naukri a few months back also continues to do well in the marketplace. Moving on to 99acres. In 99acres, top line grew by 45% year-on-year in Q1 to rupees 23 crores. 99acres in Q1 made an EBITDA loss of around 4.7 crores. This loss is a result of continued investments in sales team, service, product and technology, and advertising, the cost of which is expensed out as we incurred them. The loss may increase going forward if competition intensifies in the space and as we invest more and more and the market takes time to recover. Paid listing in Q1 were at 6 lakhs versus 4.3 lakhs in Q1 last year. Traffic from mobile for 99acres in July 2014 is around 30% of total traffic and growing month on month. Both our Android and iOS apps continue to do well in the marketplace. We've also decided to expand the verification service we offer in the market to more cities. In Jeevansathi, net sales grew 8.6% in Q1 and reached 9.45 crores in revenue. There is a marginal EBITDA profit in Q1 in Jeevansathi due to lower ad spend. However, we expect to spend more on advertising in JS in subsequent quarters. In Shiksha, net sales grew by 37% in this quarter over last year. Moving on to our strategic investments, during Q1, Policy Bazaar raised money plus a dilution for ESOP, whereby our shareholding reduced to 23% from 32% earlier. Additional funding by existing investing companies would be required from time to time, and we will evaluate each on its own merit. Mydala is currently negotiating to raise funds. We continue to evaluate other investment opportunities, mainly in the Indian internet market. As you are aware, the board has today recommended to the shareholders a fundraise through the QIP route for an amount of up to Rs. 750 crores. This is primarily to build a war chest for our internal businesses, mainly 99 acres, and for our existing external investments. Plus, of course, we will tap into other growth opportunities from time to time. We believe that this will further strengthen our defenses against competition and will help maintain InfoEdge as a key player in the Indian internet space. To summarize, as the economy improves with every passing month, the job market is likely to improve as well. The investments we have made in the last few years in our platform and products will hopefully start yielding results as this happens. Traffic on our mobile platform now exceeds 30% of total traffic in both Naukri and 99 Acres. We continue to invest aggressively in this area. 99 Acres continues to grow in an uncertain but highly competitive market, and we will continue to invest aggressively in this business. This may mean yielding margins and making losses in the near future. We continue to invest heavily in both Jeevansathi and Shiksha as well. That's all from us. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants, we will now begin the question-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. First question from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
A good set of numbers. Just had three quick questions. Firstly, on 99 acres, you know, we have seen a sharp pickup in EBITDA losses. How should we see this trend going forward? And where this loss has primarily come from? That's the first question. Second is, I didn't get the Jeevansathi year-on-year growth rate. That's the second. And the third one is, your other expenses have seen a sharp dip this quarter. Any particular reason for that, please?
So to answer the question on Jeevansathi first, Jeevansathi net sales grew by 8.6% in Q1 to reach 9.5 crores. And there was a marginal EBITDA profit in Q1 in Jeevansathi. To answer your question on 99 acres, yes, you know, like we've been saying, you know, 99 acres is a huge opportunity. Our market for real estate advertising is much, much larger than jobs. And there is, of course, a lot of competition in this space as well. We are leaders in this category, but not dominant. And when we, you know, we would like to continue to invest in this space and do whatever it takes to consolidate and maintain our leadership position. So the losses you see in Q1 are on account of additional manpower, which was added to 99 acres as we rolled out, you know, the verification service as we continue to expand heavily in sales expansion and in product development.
Okay, what about the other expenses going up during the quarter? Going down, sorry.
Yeah. So if you recall, last quarter we had taken an equalization charge, which was a one-time charge and which included the earlier period as well, which was about 4.5 crore, which was part of other expenses. So this year we don't have that because we already took that charge last quarter. So because last quarter was high, otherwise the cost is actually, you can say, it's flat.
Okay. Just one question on this whole QIP. You know, the company has around 560 crores of cash balances. So is there a need to raise 750 crores further over and above the cash which is there on the books?
Sanjeev here. So, you know, it is true that we have 560 crores, but the fact of the matter is close to 150 crores is, you know, advances from clients, and we really won't touch that. And if you, you know, say another 200 crores for a rainy day, okay, then you're talking about 360 crores is committed. So essentially talking about 200 crores, you know, available. In that, you may want to invest further in your current, external investments. You may want to, invest in a couple of new companies. Certainly, there will be more cash coming in this year from our businesses. But having said that, you know, it is really as the competitive environment in the real estate portal space heats up, And our belief is that there's a, you know, and our market intelligence is that there's a lot of VCPE money going to come into portals that are competing with 99acres. We therefore need this this money over the next couple of years, 2-3 years, to sort of, should it come to a very high investment in real estate, other real estate portals, we may need to use some of this money.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Firstly, if you could just discuss a bit on your plans for Shiksha going forward and what sort of growth you expect there. Secondly, the ad expense seems to have been particularly low in this quarter. Any particular reason, and how would you see it for the full year? And thirdly, on Zomato, Zomato seems to be focusing a lot on international markets. What's the, you know, strategy there? Is the opportunity in India not big enough?
So, you know, Shiksha is a small business right now, but growing at about 35-40% per annum. We are revamping the product. We are sort of relooking at the design of the site. We are, you know, adding a lot more features to the site. Let's see how the market reacts to some of the changes we are making. We'll be happy to grow this business this year at, 25-30% per annum. It's not as if the business is consuming a lot of capital or using a lot of cash, but we want to sort of get the product right. As far as advertising expenditure is concerned, advertising expenses were low this quarter because of lower investment in ad expenditure in Jeevansathi. Of course, like I mentioned on the call, we will continue more in Jeevansathi and advertising going forward.
On Zomato, yes, it is true they are focusing on they're expanding internationally at a rapid pace. But it is equally true that India continues to grow. Last year, 70% of the top line came from India, and it is expected this year to be 50% with India growing because the international markets grow faster, particularly UAE.
A follow-up question on that. I mean, you think that there is enough management bandwidth to both focus on growth in India as well as a number of different international markets? I mean, how would you manage, how would the management?
Well, so this is an ongoing discussion we keep having. And certainly the team in Zomato is continuously hiring talent. And yes, they get it right often, but they also get it wrong sometimes. And that's, you know, part of the learning process and the learning curve. And they pick themselves up and move on. I think they recognize the fact that they need management bandwidth, and they're moving towards hiring more people.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Sandeep Patangi from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Good quarter. Congratulations. I have a couple of questions on the QIP. The first question would be, you've highlighted that 99acres, you want to build a war chest for that. And as you've rightly said, the other portals have seen a lot of VC funding lately. What are the kind of areas where you think the proceeds could be utilized? Is it primarily in filling up some of the gaps in technology, or is it primarily consolidation by acquiring similar portals? Can you give us some clarity on that, please?
Yeah. So you know, we're looking to invest in 7 or 8 areas on a continuous basis going forward. One, of course, is sales expansion. We want to expand our operation to more cities. Two, of course, our platform. So we need to continuously invest in product development to keep our platform best in class. Thirdly, we were looking to invest more and more in data quality, so improving the quality of data we have on our site. Like I said, I mentioned the verification service. We have a few people working verification. We want to expand this service, roll it out in more cities. We are also looking to invest more and more in analytics. I think it's an important part of the real estate business. We need to sort of, help people decide which property, which location, and so on. So we are looking to invest significantly in that area as well. Mobile, of course, continues to be a big area of investment for us. Like I mentioned, over 30% of our traffic in 99acres is already on the mobile phone. So we want to continue to invest aggressively in developing mobile apps and our mobile properties. Of course, acquisition is also an important area for us because there are interesting teams out there doing interesting stuff. And as and when if we feel these teams can add value to the 99acres business, we will sort of not hesitate in acquiring some of these companies as well. So these are some of the areas we're looking to invest in 99acres and going forward.
Just a couple of additions, Sanjeev, here. So when Hitesh mentioned data quality, it means quality of listings, you know. And second, you know, acquisitions could be small, they could be medium-sized, they could be large, they could be for cash, some stock, and they're opportunistic and lumpy sometimes. And having said that, some of this spend will be driven by what competition also does, especially when it comes to investment in brand building. So some of it is, I mean, we sort of play it as it comes along.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, on the non-99 acres part of the proceeds, can you give us a sense of whether it will be primarily in further rounds of your existing investments or any exciting areas that you might want to invest in?
So the current plan on external investments is to operate within the current treasury. Of course, the money is fungible. It's not that it's not fungible. It's all one treasury. But the anticipated size of external sort of investments that we see right now is not so large as to absorb the 750 crores. But having said that, we'll have to, and 99 acres will get priority over anything else, in our plans going forward of investment. That one is pretty clear to us, that it's a really important strategic part of our business, and we will do what it takes to ensure that we're dominant. And yes, if after 2 or 3 years we feel that, we've achieved our goals and our targets and the money is not required for 99 acres or any more is not required, then we look at it.
Okay, thanks. Just one last question. I also heard that you decided or you want to invest in Jeevan Sathi and the other portals also. I'm particularly interested in Jeevan Sathi, where it's been the case for some time that the market share hasn't improved and stuff like that. So is there any change in the market where you are seeing that investments in Jeevan Sathi will give you a better market share now, or the attractiveness of the proposition has increased?
Well, we've not been investing a lot of money in Jeevan Sathi. I mean, and it's not as if our plan has drastically changed. But what I said was that we will continue to invest in Jeevan Sathi, and it's a business which has, like you said, we are number three and we've been struggling for a while. But we are doing a few interesting things. We are trying to disrupt the market in some ways. Our mobile app has been, for example, received very well in the market. So we are hopeful that, with a little bit of effort, we can maybe, and with a little bit of investment, maybe we can turn the business around. But it's not as if we are looking to invest significant sums of money in the business before we hit upon a disruptive model.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the great quarter. Again, a follow-up question on the QIP. Just wanted to understand a couple of things. One is, how was the 750 crore kind of amount fixed? I mean, if you can provide some basis for that, that'd be helpful. And secondly, you did mention that there are 5 or 6 areas to possibly invest. I was just kind of trying to correlate it with the kind of strong hiring which had happened, close to 600 people you hired in the last couple of quarters. If you were to kind of just give some sense on where a bulk of the hiring has happened and maybe some outlook on that for the rest of the year, that would be helpful.
So to answer your question on the hiring piece first, I mean, we've hired about 80% of the hiring in the company right now is in 99 acres. So that's been the case for the last 2 quarters, and I think that will be the case for the next few quarters as well.
As far as why 750 crores and not 800, that is really a limit. The board has said up to 750 crores. Yeah. So depending on market conditions, depending on appetite, depending on as we refine our plans, it could be a little lower, but let's assume it's 750 crores. Now, the way we looked at it was, first of all, we said, look, what is the kind of intelligence we're getting on which real estate portals will raise what kind of money over the next 2 or 3 years? Right? And the numbers we sort of got back was seeming to be fairly large. Right? So just to put it in perspective, I think the maximum amount of money we've lost on a cumulative basis at any point in time, in 99 acres at the EBITDA level is 50 crores. That's about $8 million at today's exchange rate. And this is over 8 years. Right? And you look at the kind of money that competition has raised, and 99 acres is market leader still. I think we've done a very good job in being capital efficient and achieving our goals. But the game, the scale of expense and the scale of investments we need to change if competition does raise this kind of money. So one input was, over the intelligence we're getting on the plans for competition. The other input was that, look, have we underinvested in 99 acres in the past? We call it being capital, but underinvestment, we are not dominant the way we are in Naukri. If you want to up traffic here to 45% and then 50% and so on, so for the next 2-3 years, what will it take? So, some of that went into it. Then we modeled some scenarios, you know, saying that, okay, as competitive intensity sort of increases, as competition means to innovate more, we know that some competitors have upped their sales organization a lot over the last last 6 months or so. And therefore, what is revenue likely to be, traffic share likely to be as they spend more on advertising? And therefore, if we do this kind of revenue, but we have to up the efforts on the ground to this level, what kind of, you know, deficit will there be? And so on and so forth. And based on those models, that modeling, we sort of assumed, we sort of came to this conclusion that around 100 million, 125 million should be the number.
And lastly, to just add to that, some of the things that we are doing in 99 Acres are beginning to make a difference, which is giving us a lot more confidence that this is the right way forward. So, you know, we want to invest in these areas to improve the user experience, to improve the product quality. We think this will make a huge difference to our traffic and to our market share in the long run. So
but yeah, on this 750 crore number, there is, after all this analysis, there's some judgment. And
sure, Sanjeev. The just follow up on that is that typically what we've seen in the past is that you prefer to kind of wait out for an aggression in terms of A&P, et cetera, to flow through on the competition, and typically they kind of burn themselves out over a 1 to 2 year period. So this time around, is the assessment of the environment different from what we had earlier, say, in the job?
Well, I think what is different is that the Naukri brand recognition that was there in recruitment, the Naukri sort of market leadership and dominance that was there in recruitment, the gap that existed, you know, the fact that there were fewer number of players, the fact that they were not heavily VC funded, you know, all of that was what it was earlier in recruitment. Whereas the situation, the competitive situation is very different in real estate. Real estate also seems to be, from a market potential, you know, standpoint, seems to be a far bigger prize than jobs. And when we compare internationally to the market cap of job listing companies versus real estate listing companies, we feel it's a bigger prize. We believe that is why all this VCP money is coming in. You know, what we don't want is a situation, hey, we failed to raise $100 million when we should have, and therefore we sort of lost out on real estate, which would be not a very good thing 3 years from now, 4 years from now.
Sure, perfect. And just one more follow-up on the startup investments. You seem to indicate that right now you're not too keen to look at kind of a new propositions. Is it more driven again by the kind of a VC money which is floating around, or what's exactly the situation?
So indirectly, yes, but you know, actually what's happened? You know, when we started doing VC investments, you know, we said we're strategic, we don't have exit intent, we have patient capital, we'll take it to the end, you know, we'll allow the company to grow, and we'll take it to its logical destiny, and we'd like to be the only investor. Now, as more and more VCPE money came in to the country, what began to happen was that any good company, you know, A, valuation get bid up, two, the size of raises increased dramatically. For example, let's say Zomato has raised 280, 290 crores. Now, or let's say a policy was raised 200 crores. Now, clearly, you know, these sums of money cannot come from us alone, given the size of a balance sheet. Secondly, you know, the truth is, you know, all these companies still carry some early stage risk. And therefore, technically, each one of the companies in the portfolio could fail. I mean, and technically also each one could succeed. I mean, they're all sort of progressing well. But if you've put in 200 crores into a company that's still carrying early stage risk, then a blowout is 200 crores, okay? And we're not comfortable with that kind of risk as of now on our balance sheet. And therefore, we are being cautious. We are sort of saying, okay, let's A, support our current companies that are doing well, and B, if one or two compelling companies come along, really compelling, and the bar has risen, we will do it.
Sure.
So we have 6 companies live right now. They won't become 15 in a hurry. They could become 7, 8, you know, 9 maybe next couple of years, but they will not become 15 in a hurry.
Sure, Sanjeev. Got it. Thanks. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Congrats on a great quarter. Could you help me understand the sharp pickup in deferred revenues? What contributed to that? And if you could break out the strength between Naukri and the rest.
So deferred revenue increase, actually the underlying reason is a strong collection that we have. And as we follow subscription model, not the entire collection turns out to be revenue for us immediately.
No,
and
it's kind of I appreciate that. I just wanted to know the source of strength in subscriptions.
Yeah. So it's a good collection in terms of the breakup between Naukri and...
So we don't disclose the breakup by business, but, you know, I mean, naturally, Naukri being the major contributor to our revenue, Naukri has got a lion's share of deferred revenue.
What I was trying to get at is the strength you see this time Naukri-led, or is it some of the other businesses?
No, it's still mostly Naukri-led.
Okay, and is it somewhat unseasonal, you know, a strong Q1? Because typically your Q1 tends to be a bit lighter sequentially.
So see, what we've been seeing in Naukri is a steady improvement in growth rates every quarter for the last few quarters. So, you know, the same time last year, maybe we were growing at 7, 8, 10%. Now we are growing in high sort of high teens. So that's really what is contributing to this growth in deferred revenue.
So you've got to understand that the Naukri base, revenue base or collection base is four times that of, let's say, 99 acres. Okay, and therefore, high teens growth on that base results in a lot of collections.
No, absolutely. I was just trying to appreciate that this is a reflection of the continued momentum in your business, right? That's the right way to...
So as the economy improves, I guess, you know, Naukri collections are improving and there is some of that. As IT improves, some Naukri collections are improving.
Also, Ankur Sudhir, some of these numbers spill over from the previous year when it's closing into Q1. So typically you'll find the collection growth in Q1 is, slightly higher.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Aishwarya K. from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Srivatsan here. I just wanted to get your comments on the Naukri piece. Post, you said quarter-to-quarter, the demand is improving. Just want to know if by vertical, is it possible to give color, especially in June? How do you see, or is it still most of the growth is IT-led, or do you see growth starting to pick up in non-IT also?
Well, certainly, you know, for the last two or three quarters, the growth has been led by IT companies. And, you know, some of our markets like Bangalore and Chennai and Hyderabad have been doing fairly well. Of late, of course, we've been seeing a slight improvement in our collection growth and services. We're not seeing too much improvement on the manufacturing and infra side of things as yet. But we are hopeful, anecdotally, what I can tell you is that our sales guys are being told by HR managers that, listen, we are going back to the drawing board to rework our plans. So we are hopeful that as the economy improves, the other sectors will improve as well, and this will mean even higher growth for Naukri going forward.
Sure, and also just wanted to get your thoughts. We directly used to say that about 25% revenue growth, margins, we should not yield margins, but given the substantial increase in investments in 99 acres, is there anything you could give us broadly on the margins front on forward basis?
Yeah, it's very difficult to say. I think we should look at it business by business. Certainly in Naukri, if we are able to grow our business at more than 15-17% per annum, our margins in Naukri should start improving. But in 99 acres, like we sort of just said, a lot is going to be determined by competitive activity and by how much we're willing to invest in the business to grow at a faster rate. So what impact this will have on company margins is hard to say at this point in time. If we, for example, decide to up our investments in brand and advertising significantly, that could impact margins very negatively for 99 acres and also for the company. On the other hand, if there's not much competitive activity and our top-line growth remains strong and we don't have to spend too much on branding and marketing, then, of course, this could have a positive impact on the business as well. But right now, what it looks like is that we will continue to invest aggressively in 99 acres. So losses in 99 acres will go up a little bit, and we'll take it quarter on quarter.
Sure. And third, if it will be helpful, you've been saying that the 99 acres market is a larger market than the jobs market. Any quantification that you have internally, broad brush estimates as to how large this market can be and what kind of penetration for all online firms put together, or a broad directional call?
Yeah, sense is that the total market for offline advertising in real estate is close to maybe 3,500 to 4,000 crores. Of course, a lot of this is spent on print and on holdings. The online portals all put together, if I even include Google in that, would not be more than maybe 300 odd crores today. And we expect the offline market to grow as well for the next few years. So it's not as if the offline market is going to start shrinking. And we do expect significant migration of revenue from offline to online over the next few years.
So it's anybody's call. You know, we don't know how big ultimately online will be. There'll be some shrinkage in market size as revenue moves from offline to online because online is just more efficient. But chances are that you know, 5 or 7, 8 years from now, the online market in real estate could be a few thousand crores.
Sure, and when you say broader real estate market, this does include the classifieds, real estate related side classifieds also, I presume.
Yeah, the online market for real estate would include the real estate classified sites, and the offline market would include both classified and display advertising real estate.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But the bulk of the money in offline is in display. Not in classifieds.
Okay. Thanks, Sanjeev.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Dinesh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. On QIP again, thinking that instead of diluting at the InfoH level, would it have been better if we diluted at the 99 acres level and that would have set a benchmark valuation for 99 acres, and then if the need be for more money, then dilute at the InfoH level?
Well, we did discuss that internally several times over the last few months, and we've been receiving lots and lots of expressions of interest from VCs and PEs to do that. That spin off 99 acres subsidiary, and they'll put money there. But the truth is, our belief is that, and even when you talk to people and look at numbers, look at the math, that public markets will give a good company and a good business far better value than with private markets. Second, 99 acres for us is the second engine of growth after Naukri and the second engine of profit after Naukri. And we see no reason why we shouldn't, our shareholders shouldn't own 100% of it.
No, but on that, public markets also tend to take benchmark valuations from private equity deals, especially in the internet space. So right now, 99 acres being loss-making for us, people might just look at cash flows and fees, and it doesn't show up in the value in that
sense. Public market investors don't just take benchmark valuations from PEs and VCs. They also take benchmark valuations from other players around the world who are listed, many of whom could be loss-making at the time when they listed. So, we don't view that as a constraint.
Okay, but did we have discussions in terms of trying to get some valuations at that level, 99 acres level?
We had got some indicative numbers from a couple of VCP players, and they were generous for a private company, but we felt they were not good enough. And also, you see, if you let in a private investor into a subsidiary of yours, then there's a shareholder agreement, there are all sorts of rights, board seats, you're not fully in control. And that's fine when we were a small company, private, needing money, and a venture capitalist came in. We see no reason to do that right now.
Well, we've done that for other businesses that we own, for example, Zomato.
Zomato, essentially, the fundraise got too large for us to fund entirely on our own. Otherwise, we would have done it ourselves.
Okay, and in terms of competition that you're talking about, is it more from newer, smaller players that just recently started, or you're seeing it from, the second player?
No, even today our largest competitor is Magic Bricks, which has been in the space for a very long time. Of course, we expect the competitive space to hot up, as companies start spending more on advertising and brand building and so on going forward. But right now, of course, our main competitor continues to be Magic Bricks in most of the markets we operate in.
No, but you talked about some market intelligence in terms of, funding for your competition. So I would assume that would be more about, apart from Magic Bricks, the other ones who have launched a different platform.
Yeah, so look, some of the market intelligence that we've got is that there could be upwards of $300 or $400 million flowing into the, online real estate portal space over the next 3 years from private equity players, unless we do something about it and clearly establish a leadership and dominance.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Omkar Hatkar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sandeep here from Edelweiss. Sanjeev, I have a small question. Rest of my questions are answered. Any view if you can throw on the way competition, particularly like housing.coms are spending, and how do you see that trend going forward, and what is your view and sense on that? Because the way they have put money in small things, right from the domain to other things, if you can comment something where you see this segment going.
Yeah, Hitesh will answer that.
No, of course, you know, there has been a lot of investment in this space, but, you know, and companies continue to invest. Like I said, the price is large, and, you know, but the way VCs look at it is it doesn't matter if you have to invest $100 million to build a billion-dollar company. It's okay. And therefore, you know, these companies will continue to invest. But I think on revenue, we are streets ahead. These companies are still very, very small in terms of revenue. So let's see what happens going forward.
Now, having said that, you know, I think it's a very good thing that competition comes in and innovates because that helps us improve. We saw that in jobs when jobs ahead came. And truthfully speaking, you know, for a couple of years, it was a better product than Naukri was. Although Naukri was doing better in the market in terms of traffic and revenue and delivery of response. You know, and we learned from that. And you know, if we had not then invested in our own innovation and product improvement and sales rollout and stuff, you know, we would not be where we are today. So competition is good. It sort of teaches us things. We respect all these competitors, and some of them are doing interesting stuff. But having said that, you know, we will do what it takes.
Sanjeev, if I can squeeze one more, my question, what I want a little more clarity is that if you see there is a need for this business, this portal, maybe portal business or the internet space, and I believe that this will become very hot going forward. But there is two type of expense which are generally incurred. One is what is required, and one is which is something which crosses the limit of required, and that is what I think is being done by some of the competition, although the product also looks good to that extent. But my question is that will it not happen that, you know, going forward, competition will make it almost very difficult by investing significant amount of money?
Well, you know, let me put it this way. Our revenue last year in 99acres was 75 crores. In the same financial year, you know, there are two competitors you're talking about. One was one-fifth our size. One was one-twelfth our size in terms of revenue. So, you know, we've been very prudent on cash consumption, you know, and capital efficiency, and we've been funding a lot of our investments through growth in revenue. We intend to continue to grow revenue fast. Having said that, you know, given the competitive intensity, we may have to do some of the investments earlier than the revenue, and therefore, which is why losses may go up. But we are confident that, you know, revenue will eventually catch up and exceed what we invest.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's all from me.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Vinit Boljinkar from Tensor Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to understand one thing is that, you know, there is one search engine which is coming to the market. That is the one of it's an impending search engine. And I was wondering, it's a very powerful engine. So do you think it can intensify the competitive element in your business?
Sorry, which search engine it is?
Wannamo. Yeah.
So Wannamo is a great map-based sort of interface and a map-based search. But I don't think they are aggressively sort of investing behind the real estate vertical as yet. So, you know, tomorrow we could partner with Wannamo. We could sort of do a deal with them. I don't know what their business plans are, what they intend to do in the long run. But, you know, like currently we're working with Google Maps, we could work with Wannamo tomorrow. But if they tomorrow, of course, decide to invest aggressively and build their real estate business, and then we'll see them as competition.
So, you know, the jury is out as to whether what percentage of users actually prefer a map-based interface versus a photo-based interface versus a listing and text interface with map as an option. And
right.
So our feeling thus far, at least, on available evidence is that actually people prefer a text-based listing and then click on map if they like what they see in the text. Okay, now, of course, this is not 100% guarantee, but this is what we believe. And therefore, we think it's going to be useful to offer maps and photos as an option.
Right.
Text as the lead interface.
But don't you think that in a solo-mo environment, as we go increasingly mobile, and when we have the mobile interface coming more prominently into play, visual B would be a greater asset?
Well, it depends on the use case, okay, so, you know, and what the consumer behavior is like. So I think very few people will walk upon the street and say, hey, let me buy a house today in this neighborhood and let me see what's available and let me look at my mobile phone. Right? These are high involvement, big ticket items. People do extensive research. They sit quietly. You know, it's like jobs. You know, people don't say,
right,
hey, let me see what jobs are available in a 300-yard radius, or let me see whom I can marry in a 300-yard radius.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Okay,
question. On the other hand, a restaurant, which is Zomato, is very different. So, you know, you can have the technology, but you've got to marry it with what the customer needs. And so I think customer needs will trump technology any day.
Right. So just taking off from where you are, you know, on when wearable tech comes in, don't you think Wonobo kind of a search engine would be a more, user-friendly thing? Because,
not for real estate. You know, I probably would not put on my glasses and go walk about the streets and say, hey, you know, let me just figure out. I look this side and which house will I look that side, which house will I. I don't think so. People don't search for houses like that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Ketan Shah from Cognis. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My question is on QIP. You could have raised a debt if required. Isn't it right?
We don't believe in debt. We are a zero-debt company. We think a lot of companies got into trouble in the past and have gotten into trouble in the past, having over-leveraged. We have seen companies getting sold and bought because of that. We have been a zero-debt company since 1990.
Okay. Sir, one more question. Isn't it early a bit for doing this QIP? Because let's say even though your competitors have raised funds, but the market situation as of now in real estate is not so great, or the growth rates are not expected to be so high that you will be requiring such high numbers.
You know, it's better to be prepared than to repent later that I should have raised earlier.
And it's not as if you're going to invest all this money tomorrow. You know, we will invest as and when the need arises.
Okay, but how much CapEx will be required as per your judgment in next, say, 2-3 years or, say, 5 years from now?
It depends on what strategy you take. Like, for example, if you look at sites like OLX and Quikr today, they invest, they're probably investing 100 crores a year, 150 crores a year on building their brand and building their business. That's the call they have taken. I'm not saying it's the right call. It may be the right call for all you know. So a lot will depend on the call we take. Our personal belief is that we will ideally want to improve the product experience first, improve the user experience, invest in the platform, invest in the technology. And as we see the market recovering, then we'll push on the pedal aggressively.
Now, having said that,
a lot will depend on competitive action.
And, you know, having said that, in internet companies, typically a lot of expenses, not capex. So if you add headcount in the listing verification team, or you add headcount in the product or UI or the engineering team, or you add headcount in the analytics team, it's all revenue expenditure. As you spend more on brand, it's revenue expenditure. Okay, there may be some capex, but the only kind of capex I actually see is if you acquire some companies, and that's the only thing that will be capitalized.
Sir, unless Magic Bricks is on sale, I don't see you buying any smaller company makes sense to us.
As of now, no, but you'd be surprised. I'm pretty sure you could not have identified companies like Two Step and Make Sense as acquisitions for Naukri. There are very small companies. There are people who are working in real estate agent CRMs. There are people who are working in all sorts of areas.
There are many associate areas you could enter into once the core platform starts to succeed. Like for example, tools to help automate the agent's office, real estate ERPs, visualization tools to sort of help sell projects better, analytical tools to help people research in real estate. So there are many areas in which one could invest going forward once the core business starts to do well. And in many of these cases, we may want to acquire rather than build in-house. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Abhishek Shindarkar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, it could be helpful if you can cite one global example where in the real estate space, a single company has become a market leader similar to what we are in the Naukri space.
REA in Australia.
There are many examples of companies that have done well in real estate. For example, REA is a leader in Australia. It's a $5 billion company. There is Zillow and Trulia in the US. You have Shiloje in France, which was acquired recently. There is Rightmove in the UK. There is Sofer in China. So there are many multi-billion dollar real estate companies in the US in the online space, and many more which are sort of in the making.
And you know, REA is dominant in Australia with close to 60, 70, 80% traffic share. I think Rightmove is dominant in the UK with a 90% traffic share. I think Shiloje is dominant in France with a 70, 80% traffic share. So these are winner-take-all markets.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Sandeep Mutangi from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my question again. I have a question on Naukri. I'm looking at the growth acceleration at Naukri, and it's slightly different from the kind of growth that has happened in the earlier phases when the growth picks up. Usually what my understanding is that when things improve, when the demand improves, then customers buy more licenses, and we will see a large impact in the pricing, and customers also grow. But this time around, we are seeing a very, very healthy growth in the increase in customer count itself. Pricing may hopefully follow later. I just wanted to, I'm curious to know your thoughts on the sharp growth in the number of customers that you are seeing at Naukri. Is it flexible plans, or is there anything happening on the ground that is leading to this?
Well, you know, the economy is improving gradually, which is why you're not seeing a hockey stick in terms of price realizations and so on. As far as the growth in the number of customers go, as the market improves, you know, customers who have stopped buying earlier start buying. We've also added a few more salespeople on the ground. That's also helping.
Okay. Or is there also some sort of a reclassification based on the portal, et cetera, that you've launched, the career sites, et cetera? Is that also included on the customers? Is that leading to some kind of growth?
You know, that's, of course, helping with revenue growth, but we are currently mostly selling to customers who are already sort of buying the other products in Naukri. So that's not resulting in new acquisitions for us. That's mostly driven by the existing products in Naukri. And that's, like I said, a result of the market improving and, of course, us putting more people on the ground.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Next question from the line of Mithin Lathi from SCFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to understand this, you know, rationale for the QIP a bit better. You know, is it a sort of 100% of war chest that one wants to build, or are we now sensing that the competition which raised small tickets of 10 million and 12 million last year is now getting into a league where they could do a potentially a 50 million raise this year, and hence we want to sort of raise this money?
Well, the intelligence we've got is the latter, which is that, look, competition could raise 25 million now, 50 million 6 months from now, and 100 million 18 months from now. You know, and if, you know, so we need to be prepared.
Sure. And for the sort of QIP itself, you mentioned that people were willing to come into 99acres if it were hived off as a separate company.
Subsidiary, unlisted.
As an unlisted subsidiary. Have there been discussions on the sort of parent co level as well, or that's something that we're now
So in look, investors, we are a listed company. Investors keep approaching us that, look, we want to block a stock. How do we do it? Is the secondary possible? Will the promoter sell? Can you do a pref? All those conversations, those are ongoing conversations because the investors have approached us. We know anecdotally that there is demand for our stock. We also know that there's a liquidity problem in the stock because, you know, a lot of people who buy our shares, they hold on to them for 3-4 years because they believe the 3-4 year story, and therefore the daily trading is not a lot. We believe a QIP will also help in improving liquidity as supply of stock will increase. So there were various reasons why you prefer QIP to, you know, making it a sub and taking private money there or even doing pref.
I asked it in the context of this ET article about General Atlantic wanting to buy a stake.
So that speculation, we cannot comment on that.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please press star in one at this time to ask a question. We can take a follow-up question from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. The first question is on the career site manager. Can you help with the
kind of number of signups you had till you talked about 500 signups at the end of the last quarter. How has that picked up?
So, you know, we've signed up more than 500 customers till late, and actually the last quarter was mostly spent on sort of trying to get some of these customers to go live on our platform. I think that's been largely accomplished, and sales will start picking up again from this quarter onwards in as far as the Credit Site Manager goes. Also, Q1 is a traditionally lean quarter for us, and our targets on the CSM are very aggressive, and we are very bullish on the product. And all the initial glitches and the sort of issues we had with making these things live have been ironed out. So we are hopeful that we'll be able to grow this piece substantially going forward.
You know, so basically, net-net, the demand in Q4 last year for the Credit Site Manager, you know, massively exceeded our capacity to service. Okay, it really hit a hot button. We're not expecting this kind of response. And so therefore, we had to take it easy one quarter in terms of sales because we had to service early orders. And now I think we are ready to start selling aggressively again.
And what kind of model is it from your end in terms of the people investments, technology, et cetera, for this? Is it a very people-light model, or do you actually get into some kind of operations for the HR organization also on this?
No, you know, it's a very light model on the people front. We, of course, need a small team for customer service, but that's about it. It's not a very large team. We continuously need to invest on the product development side, and we have a separate team of people doing that. So it's not a very asset-heavy or a very people-heavy model at our end.
Sure. And then finally, if I may make a suggestion, the Shiksha business has kind of scaled up a bit now, and I guess from my perspective, it would be helpful if you can share some kind of operating metrics as you do for the other verticals. I guess the size of Shiksha currently is pretty comparable to where you were in Jeevansathi or 99acres a few years back when you used to publish the metrics. So any kind of thought and inputs on that from our side would be really appreciated.
I think that's a good suggestion. We'll sort of apply our mind to what I think makes sense for us to share, and we'll get back to you by next quarter.
Yeah, thanks. That's really appreciated.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the floor to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call, and have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Info Edge Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.